Good afternoon. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. I'm Kim Ariano. And with me in the studio is Eric, our producer. How are you doing today, Eric?
Good afternoon, Kim. I'm doing fantastic.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's a beautiful day here, and I'm getting excited about taking a trip next week. So,
where are you going?
Couldn't it be better? Going to NYC, New York City.
Just for fun?
Just for fun.
You go lots of places for fun.
Well,
good for you.
You know.
I don't go anywhere for fun anymore.
Well, you should.
I should, but it seems like if I'm going to have some fun, it's just kind of sitting at home and not having anything to do.
I can understand
That's what happens when you have kids. The whole concept of fun completely changes.
The problem is if I'm at home, if I'm around here, I'm doing work, you know, so I got to get somewhere else so I can say, well, I can't do anything. I can just relax now.
Are you going to go to any shows?
I'm going to go see a show at Radio City Music Hall. I'm going to go see a band that I love called Pulp. Should be very fun.
I remember.
And I'm going to go see The Late Show with David Letterman.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, I've been a fan forever, so it'll be great to be in the Ed Sullivan Theater in person.
That will be a lot of fun. Now, they tape that show like in the afternoon, right?
They watch it late
at night, but it's in the afternoon.
And they tape two shows on Thursday so that Dave could take the day off on Friday, which is a sweet gig. I want to get that deal.
Is that what you're trying to get is that day?
We're doing the Friday show that's taped on Thursday.
Oh, so very cool. Oh, so they get a different audience in there. So they just file you out and file you back in. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it should be good.
Good for you.
So I'm excited.
Good for you. Well, I wanted to let folks know that not last week's show, but the week before we were on the show, and we were talking with Gene, and I had recorded that show on my new iPad. I was playing with it.
Right.
And I had done a little montage video that was posted on the Walk the Talk with Kim site.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to Facebook and go to Walk the Talk with Kim, you can see that video and you get to see me and you get to see Eric, and there's this whole little montage going on there. And so it was a lot of fun to do. So I was, you know, you hear people on the radio all the time. You have no idea what they look like or what the studios look like or where they're, all of that stuff is on there.
Yeah, we shared that on the Alternative Talk 1150 Facebook page as well for people.
Yeah.
So, because I watched it and I said, we got to share this. This is so cool.
Yeah, it is really cool. And, you know, not that Apple needs any additional help selling their iPads, but I filmed that whole thing and put the music on it, did all the editing and uploaded it to YouTube in about an hour and a half from my iPad. So it's a cool tool.
There are other tablets available.
There are other tablets available, but I don't know what they do. I just know that I'm just in love with my Apple product. That's all I have to say. I love it. But I did want to give a little disclaimer because Eric brought up a point in the video, which while I was editing it, I thought, you know, this might be a little bit hypocritical. But at the beginning of the video, I am driving and taking video at the same time.
Right.
And we at the Walk the Talk with Kim show do not condone distracted driving.
We just did a show on distracted driving, too.
It's horrible. And, of course, our sponsor is Pearson Law Firm.
Exactly.
Expect expert representation and a kind, compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson promise, and I just want to let my Pearson folks know and everybody know out there, I was in my driveway.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't like I'm driving down the freeway or I was in any kind of road. I was driving on my driveway on a gravel road at 15 miles an hour, and, you know, there's not a lot of video there. But I just want to let folks know, I probably should have taken it out, but I left it in there anyway. So when you see it and you go, do as I say, not as I do. That it was a safe environment for the moment. Yeah, it was just the driveway. That's typically okay. But we don't condone distracted driving or taking video of yourself while you're driving.
So don't watch the video while you're driving.
No,
don't
please
log on to Facebook. If you're driving now, don't log on to Facebook on your smartphone or whatever and watch it.
Wait till you get home. Wait till you get home and you can go see it. Exactly. But it was a lot of fun to do. And I encourage folks out there, if you've got your own small business or nonprofit organization or whatever you're doing, use video. It's fun. People love it. I get so many comments, not only about that video, but about a couple of other videos that I've done. And they don't have to be perfect. In fact, the less perfect the video is, the better. So for nonprofit organizations, you know, don't be afraid. Get out your iPhones, take some video, throw it on YouTube. Maybe you've got some clients that you're feeding food to, and you could take some video if they're okay with it, and use it, because people really connect to the visual. That's a big thing with nonprofits, is they really want to see, people want to see that visual. And so use it to your advantage. It's easier now than it's ever been before to load videos. And so if you're not doing it, you probably should. So there you go. I hope everyone is enjoying the day. We're going to get started. And again, we're going to talk about putting that sales hat on to fundraise. So I have with us today a guest. Her name is Gazala Yurdnik, and she is with GFS Fund Development Organization. Hi, how are you doing, Gazala?
Good, thank you.
It's nice to have you here today.
Thank you. It's really nice to be here.
Yeah. So my background in corporate America was, I was a regional sales and marketing director. So I get this whole idea of selling. And when you're selling a product, you know, that's one thing. But when you're selling an organization, when people hear sales, especially a nonprofit, it's something I think a lot of people avoid.
I would agree with you. I think sometimes the word sale or sell is often looked as a four-letter word. And I know when I first started in sales, I would say to my, you know, say to people, oh, no, I'm not that kind of a salesperson. And when we talk about selling, it's really about relationship building. Almost all sales is relationship building. People want to do business with people that they like and trust. And when you develop that relationship with someone, you are selling yourself, you're selling your product, you're selling your business, you're selling your nonprofit. And I think that's how, you know, you can kind of tie your sales skills into a fundraising skill.
It's really hard to do, especially if you don't come from a sales background, or you have, like you said, these preconceived ideas of what sales is. I think Jeff Gitmer, if anybody's heard of the sales guru, Jeff Gitmer, he put it best as, people don't want to be sold, but they love to buy.
That's true. Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And so we have to think about that as nonprofits, that what we need to put out there is something that people want to spend money on, that they'll say, hey, I want to support that.
Exactly. If you think about when you, as a customer, if you go to a sale, for example, and you are at a store and you see this amazing product and you're like, you want to tell all of your friends about it. And that can translate into the same kind of a theme for a nonprofit. When you are working with a nonprofit that you really, really believe in their mission, and you kind of want to shout it from the rooftops as well and say, look, this is a great, great business. What a wonderful organization, and their mission is fantastic. Let's support them. And so it can, you know, it can work that way as well. Just like you would say you got to buy this sweater at Nordstrom's, you might also say you really have to support this particular nonprofit.
Can you give us an example of an organization that you think is doing this really, really well?
A good question. I think that there's a couple of organizations, and I happen to actually, part of my background is diabetes. I used to be the head of the Joslin Diabetes Center at Swedish a while back. And so I've actually been in contact with the American Diabetes Association, and I'm helping them with their diabetes expo that's coming up on April 21st. And I think that organization does do it very well. They, of course, are a national nonprofit, so that helps because they really do have a lot of corporate support. But they also have a really great, well-run in-house staff, and I think that's very helpful, too. And then the final piece is the volunteers. They have a really, really great volunteer staff as well, and the number of volunteers that help out for every event is pretty phenomenal.
Excellent. And so when somebody has experience with, is this the National Diabetes? What's the name of the organization?
American Diabetes Association.
American Diabetes Association. What do you think their hook is for people?
Well, I think that, you know, there's the hook right now is definitely that there's so many people that suffer from diabetes. So that's a big one. Mm-hmm. And so I think everyone can identify with that. And then also, one of the basic care pieces for diabetes is just having a good diet. And by that, I just mean a healthy diet. And I think everyone can really relate to that as well.
Right, right. You know, I think it's the American Heart Association just came up with some videos that they were posting on how to recognize signs of a heart attack. And they're really kind of funny. And you think heart attack is not funny. But the way that they did these are so interesting and kind of funny and intelligent. But at the same point, you really learn how to recognize signs of heart attack. And so I'm seeing a lot of this move into the visual media. Is that what you're seeing as well with nonprofits?
Yes, definitely. You know, I think that nonprofits have to do a lot of things a little bit smarter than your average business. I mean, they just are, they're running on a shoestring budget. And so, like you mentioned in the beginning of the segment, just being able to, you know, get your iPad out or get out your video, your phone, and just do a quick little video, a little small interview and post it. I think that nonprofits are looking to things like Facebook and, for example, Pinterest, which is a really new and upcoming way to get your information out, Twitter. Those kind of free media outlets are huge right now.
And you want those videos to be like 30 seconds to 2 minutes. I mean, no more than that. I think a lot of people want to integrate a social media, you know, component or a video component. But they're thinking, you know, oh my gosh, all this editing, I don't have the right software, and what's it going to look like? And I'm not, and I'm here to tell you, it's very simple. It's not about you putting together something that's really, really polished. It's actually showing what you do and the impact of what you do in a very clear, concise manner. And it could even be with pictures.
Exactly. You could even have, like we were talking about, just a 30-second story about whatever your mission is from an individual, and that can speak volumes to a lot of people.
What are some other things that organizations need to consider when we're talking about selling, or actually what we're talking about is fundraising, which is selling.
Yes.
But what's another tip that you can think of that might help organizations to think about it differently than a sales?
Sure. Well, I think that one of the things about fundraising that's really important to remember is that it takes a lot of time. You don't ask, you don't make your first ask about money. A lot of times when you have a list of prospective donors or people that you're interested in connecting with, you want to start and build that relationship with them. So your first ask isn't necessarily about money. It might be, hey, would you like to have more information about my organization? Would you like to learn a little bit more about our mission? Perhaps inviting them to an event, inviting them to a, for example, a volunteer event where everyone's just gathering and talking about the mission and learning about it. So it takes time. And then, of course, it takes a game plan. Every individual is different. So how you might approach one individual will be different from another.
Wonderful. We're going to talk about more tips because I'd love to talk about things like blogging and how we do things a little bit different here with the nonprofit arena. Ghazala is going to be back on with us after the break to talk more about these things. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim on KKNW AM 1150.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson. And with my wife, Michelle, we're local residents just like you who have a passion to help those who have been harmed or wronged in our communities. If you have a personal injury from a car crash or a property hazard, an industrial injury, a defective product, or nursing home neglect issue, the Pearson Law Firm can help you anywhere, anytime. Contact us today for a free case evaluation at 1-800-423-8473. That number again is 1-800-423-8473. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Remember the pink tow truck? It was a Seattle icon. But did you know the mastermind behind the marketing was also one of Seattle's successful entrepreneurs? Learn life lessons from Ed Lincoln by reading his new autobiography, Life Through the Rearview Mirror. Available at area bookstores and online, go to walkthetalkwithkim.com and click on the link.
Accelerated weight loss, and everyone's a winner. You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days. It's about science, not celebrities. No HCG, just award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. Join 10,000 satisfied clients. For information, contact myweightlosswellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Do you wish you could train your brain to be more creative? ThinkShop can help. For 16 years, ThinkShop has trained individuals at Fortune 500 companies, small businesses, and nonprofits. Learn our proven process to think creatively and make great ideas happen. Our trainings are offered in person and online. Learn more at thinkshop.com.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim. We're back and we're talking about fundraising strategies, and fundraising is to nonprofit as sales is to corporate America. And we want to get out of that fear and that perception that sales is a bad thing, because it's not. Sales and making money is what keeps all of these programs moving forward. And I think quite often when we have smaller nonprofit organizations, we have a tendency to look at fundraising as a necessary evil and as kind of a last, you know, I have to do it. I have to get this done. And then all of a sudden it's a, oh my gosh, I can't support this program without fundraising. And then you hear from them and it's this big push. And I think what I heard you saying, Ghazala, and Ghazala is here as our guest, with GFS Fund Development, and your organization helps organizations or nonprofit organizations with fundraising, how to get their plan strategies together, and volunteer development. What else does your organization do?
Exactly. You know, one of the other things is special events. I really enjoy doing special events, whether those are, for example, auctions, silent auctions, or luncheons where people are trying to raise money. I really enjoy board management. There's a lot of times when you've got a nonprofit and it started off with perhaps some, you know, really close friends, maybe some family members on your nonprofit board. And those people have to learn the skills of fundraising, because you really want a strong board who is able to fundraise for you. That's one of the most important things in a nonprofit.
Right. And we've talked about this before, the expectation that people that join the board should donate. They should put some skin in the game. They should absolutely carry the mission.
Exactly. And I've heard from especially smaller nonprofits where they haven't even asked their board. A lot of times they'll have a give or get policy, a nonprofit will. So whether a board member is required to actually take their checkbook out and give a certain amount, or if they can get that amount, perhaps it's with a walk that the organization does and then they sponsor a team and that's how they get the amount. But it's a really good policy to have for a nonprofit.
Absolutely. And if you're serving on a board, I mean, your executive director doesn't want to ask you for money. They're, you know, but understand that that's an awkward situation for an executive director to be in, especially one that's unpaid and volunteer themselves, to be doing all of this really hard work and then, you know, hoping that the board will either donate or at least get involved. And so having to not only manage the business of the nonprofit, but then to do the fundraising and try to get their board on board.
Exactly.
That sounds kind of a weird way to put it, but their board on board.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're a board member, just be conscious of the pressure that your executive directors are under, and, you know, try at least to have that conversation with them on, you know, what are your expectations? What would you like to see? How can I help?
I think one of the things that a nonprofit should do is have those expectations outlined ahead of time. So if they haven't already come up with just a job description, for example, they really should have a set of expectations of here's what we require of our board members. It's not just a figurehead and you're on the board and you can put that on your resume. You really want to have set expectations, because those board members are the ones that are going to go out in the community and do a lot of the asking.
Absolutely. So we were talking before the break about sales and some ideas and tips on sales. And you had mentioned one thing, which I want to expand on a little bit, and that's to have a sales strategy or to have a fundraising strategy.
Absolutely. I think what happens is nonprofits can kind of get in that mode of, oh, wait, the JDRF does a gala every year and it's really successful. Let's do one. Let's go ahead and do that and get that going.
Let's do a golf tournament. Yes. And then you've got 10 golf tournaments
exactly.
that are all competing for the same dollars, right?
So, you know, just like you would any kind of a business strategy, you would know exactly how many dollars you're trying to raise in a given year. And I would suggest actually having more like a 3 to 5 year plan, even if the plan is fluid, to at least have in place, okay, here's what our goals are. Here's what we want to raise the money for. Here's how we'll spend the money. And then here are our 5 or 6 fundraising pieces throughout the year. So you're not just jumping on the next great idea, and you really do have a plan in place. And that doesn't mean that you might not decide to do a golf event when you hadn't had one in motion before, but it's just something that you've actually thought about and had in place.
One of the things that I would also recommend with that is look to other nonprofits in your area. either ones that do similar things that you do or ones that are geographically looking at what you do and see if you can't combine your fundraising efforts into one or two events.
Exactly.
So, for example, here's my little plug. The Snoqualmie Valley Hospital Foundation and the Mount Si Senior Center and the Snow Valley Senior Center are all combining to do a golf tournament in September. And that's the conversation that we had as a group was, you know, you're an executive director and you're putting on this golf outing all by yourself. And I'm one and somebody else is one. And we're doing these three completely different events and running ourselves ragged doing the same thing. And we're going after the same people to golf, to donate, to what have you. So what if we combined and you do the things you do really well, and I do the things that I do really well, and our other one does the things that she does really well, and then we only have to go. So the donors are really appreciative that it's only one event. It's a big event, and we're splitting the load. We're splitting the love, and that was a huge concept for me and just a whole load off my shoulders.
That's a great idea.
As an ED. So, yeah, so think about that in terms of fundraising is who can you partner with? And maybe if you are really, really bad, like if you have an animal rescue organization, I'm saying this from experience, and you're really, really bad at fundraising, you just are so not motivated because you're spending your time rehabilitating dogs and pulling dogs and transporting dogs, and the fundraising piece of it just is painful. There's somebody out there that would love to just focus on the fundraising and let you do what's painful for them, which is the transportation and, and those kinds of things.
And that's where I think that nonprofits have to have that little bit of expertise brought in sometimes. There's a lot of times now where you can't have on your staff a fundraising specialist. And if you do have someone who's a fundraiser on your staff, they can't do every event. They can't do it all. So you really do need to sometimes get that expertise in.
And so is that an expensive thing?
You know, it really depends. When I work with a client, I tend to do it on a project by project basis. And we really figure out what the needs of the client are and what how much money they want to raise, how much what they're interested in getting done and accomplished. And we work it that way.
So if someone wants to talk with you about their sales strategy or their fundraising strategy for their organization, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, my email is gazala@gfsfund.com. And that's probably the best way to reach me.
And then I'll put that information on the Walk the Talk page, too, and then we'll have this replaying as well. So how did you get involved in this work?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I have been in healthcare for years. I have a master's in healthcare administration. And I think when I finished my master's and I got into strategic planning and business development, I figured I would be in that area forever for my entire career. And then, of course, kids came along and I took a little bit of time off. And then I went into something completely different. I went into sales, and it was something, as I mentioned before, I kind of looked at as a four-letter word in the beginning and realized I'm actually really good at sales. And I think part of that is because it is relationship building. And I enjoy meeting people. I enjoy getting to know them. And I think that's really big when you're working in, for example, fundraising. And then after about 7 or 8 years in sales, during that same amount of time, I was also doing quite a bit of fundraising for the Issaquah Schools District, for other smaller organizations, nonprofits. And I decided I need to, you know, I want to do something different now. What am I going to do? Am I going to go back to healthcare? And my husband said to me, he's like, well, if you could pick, you know, anything you wanted to do, if you could just pick what you wanted to do, what do you love to do? And it really took me about a second to answer. And I was like, I love fundraising. I enjoy getting money for nonprofits, especially for nonprofits that I really value their mission and believe in their mission. So that was a really easy jump into fundraising. And that's how I formed GFS Fund Development.
Wonderful. And so you work with nonprofits and emerging nonprofits and
I do.
Kind of get their sales strategy going.
Exactly.
Excellent. So what would be the first thing? You said sales strategy. That might be overwhelming for some, but what's the first thing you think that someone should do when they're looking at a fundraising strategy that's different than what we've done, that what people have done in the past?
Well, I think that you have to realize, I mentioned before that fundraising takes time. It also takes patience. And I think that's really important to remember, that when you are meeting someone or connecting with a new company, for example, you are going to have to be patient with that that person or that the individual or the company, and really bring them with you. You're at point X and they're still at point A. You need to guide them to that particular point where they are able to really give you a big check for mm-hmm. your organization. Mm-hmm. I think the first thing that you want to do when you are asking or making an ask is to really have an actual question in mind. You want to say, would you be willing? There's actually a question behind it. You want it to be very, very concrete, a concrete step that person will be taking, and also very specific. So
like what? Can you give us an example?
Sure. So for example, if I were to say, Kim, would you want to go to an event that our school is holding? That's very generic. I would, you know,
I'd be like, going, I'm busy.
Exactly.
When was it?
Exactly. Kim, our school is doing some wonderful, wonderful things for our kids. We are providing a wonderful book room that we really need help supporting. And we are looking to hold an event, and the cost of the event is $50. It's on January 21st. Would you be available to come with me as my guest? And would you be interested in donating $50? That's very, very specific.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that you would be able to, you know, think about and reason and then decide fairly quickly. It's not going to take you a lot of time to process that.
You know what I really liked about what you just said is and I don't know if everybody caught that, you had two asks. One was, will you come? And the other is, will you donate? And what I loved about that is it gave me the opportunity to go, I can't come, but I'll donate.
Exactly.
Or I can't really donate, but I will come and I will bring somebody. It gives folks an option so that they're not stuck. And it also gives you the opportunity to get what you really, really need, which is the fundraising piece, but also the awareness piece. So if somebody can't, I'm sorry, I can't make it on that day, that you don't have to come back with, well, that's okay, can you donate? Because you've already asked that question very gracefully.
Exactly.
So ask that question one more time, because I want people to hear that again, if you can remember.
Would you be willing to attend our event at the school on January 21st? And it's for our book room, and we're going to be asking everyone to donate $50 at the event.
Love it. Good.
And there are some events that aren't necessarily, a nonprofit would have, that aren't necessarily fundraisers, but you'd call them friend raisers, and you're asking someone to attend that event to really become a friend of the nonprofit. There is no specific ask. It's just that I want you to learn about my organization. I want you to learn about my mission. I don't want you to open your pocketbook that night. I just want you to be informed. And those are just as important, I think, as fundraisers as well, because you need those friend raisers so that you can get the group out there, you know, behind you.
So what are some of the things, some of the reasons why someone would want to be a friend raiser?
Well, I mean, there's a variety of things. A lot of times, most people that are involved in a nonprofit, it's really because something has hit home with them. They have lost a family member to cancer, or they have a child with autism, or, you know, they've got diabetes. Something has happened in their lives to really makes them involved in a particular nonprofit. Mm-hmm. And so you want to find out those people that are out there. There are people that are out there that maybe don't know about your organization or what you do. And so having those friend raisers where you're just informing people about your mission, and maybe that friend isn't someone who's going to be able to open up their pocketbook and be a big donor, but maybe they have a friend who will. And so that's how you're opening up your network.
Exactly. Excellent. Excellent points. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Autism Day, which is coming up. We're going to give you more information on that. You can get more information about Ghazala and what she can do for your nonprofit organization at www.gfsfund.com. You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and since 1977,
We at the Pearson Law Firm have guided individuals and their families through the legal process to seek justice and restitution in insurance disputes and personal injury claims. At the Pearson Law Firm, we work hard to secure justice in civil matters with a network of resources, a wealth of experience, and a compassionate attitude. That's the Pearson Promise. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473. That's 1-800-423-8473 for a free case evaluation. Or check us out at walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Hello, this is Kim Ariano of Walk the Talk with Kim. The reality is staggering. South Africa has one of the highest incidences of HIV/AIDS in the world. This fact results in millions of orphans left in the care of other family members, friends, or fending for themselves in child-headed households. Focus on Itemba offers orphans and vulnerable children a new direction in life through loving foster care homes with committed parents and a real opportunity for a good education. Please consider sponsoring a child to receive the needed stability to change their world. Go to itembakids.org. Or follow the links from walkthetalkwithkim.com.
You too can lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days with the My Weight Loss to Wellness Accelerated Weight Loss Program. No celebrities, no HCG, and no prepackaged food. See results in just 7 days. We use award-winning science-based nutrition and natural botanicals. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
1150KKNW.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim, and we're talking about fundraising today.
And friend raising.
Yes, I've never heard that term before. I like that term. So this idea, and social media is a really great opportunity to do some friend raising. And I'm trying to think of organizations that I've joined their Facebook page because there's something in the content that I find value or find value in.
Exactly. I have a lot of friends who are doing walks or, for example, the breast cancer walk, and it's constantly posted on Facebook, and it's just, you know, donate $5 here. And that's a great way to just get information out to your friends. Definitely.
Yeah. And I'm even thinking that as you're thinking about your nonprofit organization, you know, kind of write a list of what you can provide to the community. So for example, it's autism. Maybe that's what you're focused on, autism. So you talk about friendship building. So what value can you put as an autism expert or as an autism nonprofit organization? Can you put out there in the form of information, video articles, those kinds of things to help people keep informed of autism in general? I know the Chris Elliott, Glioblastoma mm-hmm. Cancer Research Fund. She does a really great job of putting out the latest and greatest that we need to know, not only just about glioblastoma, but all different kinds of brain cancers. So people that are interested or have been touched or want to know or are concerned can friend that page. And then when those things kind of pop up, you're just getting this information. So you've got this constant touch. And so I think that would be something as part of your strategy as you're putting this together is what can you offer in the form of a blog or even forwarding information that you can kind of brand as, you know, here's an article that I read today about my specific subject that keeps that whole friend raising thing moving forward.
Exactly. Because you don't want to touch people only to ask them for money. You want to be that resource that says, I know a lot about this particular area and I'm going to give you that information. Mm-hmm. And so people will start coming to your blog post or your Facebook page or Twitter account and really follow you and learn more about what your organization does.
Absolutely. Let's switch gears a little bit from fundraising to volunteer raising, which is kind of so we're hoping that the friend raising, they can also become volunteers. The challenge that we have today is getting the mind share of people to not only pay attention to what you're doing, but to actively get engaged, you know, out of the chair, away from the computer and actually, you know, get engaged. Or maybe part of being engaged is being in front of the computer and spreading the word. Are we having challenges, do you think, different challenges in recruiting and getting a volunteer force than what we've had in the past, do you think?
I'm not sure if it's different. I think that the challenges are always the same. It's just to get that volunteer and keep that volunteer. Mm-hmm. I think that's one of the most important things is volunteer retention. You can have a gung-ho volunteer and really excited about coming to a golfing event, for example. And then if they're not either put to use right away or if they aren't thanked properly, then you've probably lost that individual. And your volunteers are also the people that might eventually down the road become your donors and your sponsors. So you really, really want to nurture your volunteers. And volunteer management is really huge in a nonprofit. It's something that sometimes gets put to the side because, you know, you don't have someone, for example, in charge of volunteer management like you do an executive director in charge of fundraising or
everything else.
Exactly. Right. So you really do want to have someone who really takes care of your volunteers because they are so important. They're pretty much the crux of most of the events that take place.
So volunteer management program, I love it. So what are the components or the aspects of volunteer management programs?
Well, for example, I've actually worked with so many volunteers throughout the years. And I think one of my biggest pet peeves is when you do ask someone to attend an event and you think as a event manager, I'm going to need 100 people and I'm just so nervous about the event. So you ask all these people to come and then when they get there, you might not have something for them to do. And I think that's really important is that when your volunteer arrives to have an important job for that person. So that's an important piece when you're running an event. In terms of other pieces of volunteering, like for example, if you were doing like a letter writing campaign and you wanted to get some volunteers for that, just again, communication, follow-up, thank yous, all of those are really, really important when working with volunteers.
I would agree with you. I would also, I know for me, so I do a lot of volunteering and I'm thinking personally about organizations that I've really felt valued and organizations where I haven't.
Exactly.
And one, you know, I'm obviously not going to give you the name of the organization, but this was one where we were working very hard for a long period of time for this event and getting things together. And the event time come and they said, well, we already have enough volunteers. And I remember sitting there thinking, going, but I want to be there. You know, and you don't think of things like, oh, well, you don't need to volunteer that day. But being open and letting your volunteers volunteer if they want to volunteer is really, really important. I don't want to volunteer for this organization anymore because it's like, well, you can do everything. But on the day of, we're going to be the ones that are going to be in front of everybody and see all the really great things we're doing,
right.
Not you.
And they've lost you now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. That's they don't even know it.
Right.
Right. Because they haven't reached out and said, hey. You know, I'm
right.
Just on to the next thing.
And you won't believe how many times I've heard that from other volunteers where they were so excited and really wanting to help an organization. And then, no, I don't think I'm going to work there anymore because they don't appreciate me. And that's mm-hmm. really, you're not paying a volunteer, but the word of thanks is just huge when it comes to a nonprofit. And that takes so little time. You thank your donors. You need to thank your volunteers as well.
And it doesn't have to be presence, you know. It could be, like you said, a thank you or a letter or
exactly.
And what are some other ways that you can thank your volunteers, some creative ways?
Well, you can do, you know, we do, for example, when you have an event and you have a table captain party, you could certainly have an after volunteer party. And it doesn't have to be an expensive thing. If you've got volunteers, you can ask them to come. You can say, hey, it's a potluck. Bring something. We want to thank you. And it can be something very simple. In for example, we have a whole host of volunteers where we've done little thank you brunches or a lunch or something that's the board actually brings in food. And we just thank the volunteers. And it's as simple as just providing them a small lunch. And that really does go a long way.
Yeah, or even a little after hours or something to welcome them in. And then having the people that are actually helped by the organization there to tell a story and to personally thank them is
exactly.
always a big thing. Yeah, even with the donors, people want to know what they're doing is helping. And they love to hear back from the people that are helping them.
They do, yes. And there are a couple of organizations. I went to the Hope Link lunch, and they do a beautiful job of thanking the donors, and the luncheon was on a Monday, and on Tuesday's mail we received a thank you letter. I was actually blown away by that. They just really had it together, and I think that's, we really want to get the thank you out as soon as possible, whether it's to your volunteers or to your donors.
So, an executive director overwhelmed with a million things, and I can tell you that if you have an event, the time leading up to the event is chaotic, to say the least. And then you have the event, and the first thing that you want to do the day after the event is to take a nap. But it's almost just as busy.
It is.
Afterwards. So how do you find that time, or what are some ways that you can take care of the thank you piece?
Well, the thank you piece really needs to be done before. So you have your guest list. And you basically write all of the thank you letters and the envelopes using your volunteers ahead of time. You have them ready to go. And then when the person makes, because you know, you're expecting the yes from everyone in the room. So hopefully you've gotten that yes. And so whether the letter goes out that says thank you for attending our event, or thank you for making your donation and attending our event, that goes out immediately. It goes out the very next day, or sometimes that afternoon in that day's mail. And that is powerful. And then the executive director hopefully can at least get in a short cat nap the next day.
It seems like it should work that way, but I'd never seen any executive director an event actually come out of it the next day being able to rest for a moment.
Not at all.
Oh, that's awesome. And so I love the idea that you just had about having your volunteers do it, about when you're looking at an event, having somebody responsible for the thank yous at the end to the volunteers. I would have never thought about doing that.
Yeah, I think it's that little touch that really goes a long way, because, as you know, nonprofits are competing for the same amount of money and the same people and the same time from everyone. So if you can set your nonprofit a little bit of apart from the next one, that will really help.
And I think you also made a really great point that oftentimes your volunteers are your biggest donors.
Exactly.
Absolutely. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to wrap up the show with some really more great tips. You've been a wealth of knowledge, Ghazala. Thank you for coming on. We've got some more coming. So come back and listen to Walk the Talk with Kim.
You can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what you got.
Hi, I'm Jerry Pearson, and at our firm, whether we're working on an automobile crash case or helping a client who's been injured by a defective product, we focus on justice. We're passionate about serving our clients. Our successful approach focuses on the right issue at the right time, with the best tools and expertise available. We focus on collaboration and cooperation. Clients support that process, and they respect our abilities to manage the legal process, to demystify it, and to explain choices and opportunities, and also their responsibilities. Contact us at 1-800-423-8473 or PearsonLawFirm.com. That's PearsonLawFirm.com. Or you can check us out at WalkTheTalkWithKim.com.
Lose up to 30 pounds in 30 days and be that sexy Valentine again. We offer a rapid, effective, and safe program that transforms your health as fast as it transforms your body. For information, contact myweightlosstowellness@gmail.com and mention Walk the Talk with Kim.
Have you heard the phrase, "The beatings will continue until morale improves"? To organizations, employees are the biggest assets and biggest fans. If they're not feeling heard or appreciated, the bottom line will suffer. For mission-driven organizations, the reliance on employees and managers to rally around the core messaging is critical for success. At Walk the Talk for Success, we provide leadership best practices, education, and communication strategies for mission-driven organizations. Whether you're a business of one, middle manager, or leader in a large company or nonprofit, our experiential workshops and focused on organizational psychology will assist you in achieving success with your messaging and vision. Call for a free consultation today, 425-888-9790, or check us out at www.walkthetalkwithkim.com.
Walk the Talk for Success, achieving your message through understanding human behavior.
No shirt, no shoes, no problem. Come as you are. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Just be thankful. for what you got.
You're listening to Walk the Talk with Kim and the Smooth Sounds. Ugh, I love that music. Yay, Eric always comes through.
Yeah, you know, well, if you've got volunteers, apparently you should definitely be thankful for them, right?
Yes, thankful. Yes. And I think we forget. I mean, we assume, and it sounds horrible, but like I said, there's so many things to think about. And I think as an executive director, and this is a conversation completely, I haven't done a show for and only the executive directors of the world, and I need to do that. That's got to be a show topic soon. We'll have to bring in somebody, I know, maybe because Ollie, you're the right person, or we'll get a host of people in that are executive directors that can talk about what life is like. Because often when you're an executive director, you either fell into that job because it's your passion and you're living it, or you have been tapped because you were on the board and your executive director left and somebody had to step in, and the next thing you know, you get what you ask for. And it's an interesting position in life as an executive director. So we'll have to talk a little bit more about that. I don't know what got me off on that tangent. I guess we were talking about that on the break, because I am the executive director of the Snoqualmie Valley Hospital Foundation. So I get to plug it. We're having a golf tournament, as long as we're talking plugging, on September 28th. That's with the other organizations as well. I'm going to be putting a commercial. We're going to be talking more about that. But bringing someone like Ghazala in is really, really helpful, because often, you know, I'm concerned about things like, do we get our taxes done? Have I paid our bills? Did we get the thank you notes done? Do I the little minutiae and the large things that we have to do. And oftentimes I'm so overwhelmed with the to-do list that I don't even get to step two, which is to delegate.
Right.
You know, I don't even get there, because it's like, that's got to be done now. I don't have time to delegate. And so sitting down and actually coming up with a plan, and having someone like Ghazala in that can sit down with you and help you organize. We think, oh, we can't do, you know, this is shoestring budget. We can't afford to bring somebody in and talk about it. And I think a lesson that I've learned, not only as an executive director, but also as a business owner, is that you have to get a team in place to help you. And it is not because you can't. It's because everybody has things that they're good at, and everybody has things that they're not good at. And I'll be the first to tell you, I'm really great at coming up with ideas. I'm really great at getting the passion going. I'm really, really great about getting people energized and mobilized. I suck at bookkeeping. I am horrible at thank you notes. I am horrible at the detail and the things that need to get done. So what I need to be looking for are volunteers that love to do that stuff. And what my organization needs are this. And, you know, so even that's another to-do list. So I would highly recommend, if you're kind of in the same boat that I am, which you are, whether you admit it or not out there, executive directors, that at least having a consultation with someone like Ghazala might identify some key areas with just a little bit of help, either having, you know, someone on staff do that, or getting the right volunteers in place, at least knowing what you're deficient in and what you could be doing better. I would highly recommend that.
Yeah, I think nonprofits have to remember that they are a business first, even if they don't have, they're in a business and they're running a business. And just like you would in a for-profit arena, you've got to do what makes sense. You've got to hire the right experts to get the job done. So I think that, like you mentioned, a lot of executive directors just fall into their position. And they have never done fundraising before. They've never cultivated a prospect or had a big major sponsor. And that's really an important, those are important skills, a skill set.
And the other thing that I'll mention too, and this is a topic, again, a bigger topic for a different day, but as a systems thinker, which is really my background and where I come from, is everything ebb and flows. Nothing stays static. And if anything is staying static, it's in a state of atrophy and dying. And that's true with nonprofit organizations, too. There are times when you need a certain type of individual and times when you need to make the change. And very often as executive directors, you grow with the baby and you move and you shake with the baby. But there's times when the baby is changing, they're growing up, they might be outgrowing you, or they might be needing something else that you're just not thinking of, that you're completely blind to. So having a consultant come in or someone come in to actually sit with you and talk about your organization is a great way to see your organization from a different lens. And if you really care and love the baby, which we all know that we do, and our baby is not ugly, our baby is the most beautiful thing on the face of the planet, that you can only help by by talking to someone about where you need a little bit better focus or more help or what have you.
Right.
And don't be afraid to ask. I think I've discovered that about my own business, because when you're starting a business, like, I can't afford to pay anybody anything. I'm starting a business. But the more I looked at it, the more I said, well, I can't get this business going unless I bring in people that are really, really good at what they do that I'm not good at.
That's right. I mean, there's just a lot of, and that goes for a lot of things when you're starting a new business, and that goes for the nonprofit world too. Mm-hmm. You know, spending that extra amount of money for a really good website, a really good branding. Those are all things that really do pay off in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to talk about, before we go, I do want to talk about Autism Day. So this is something that is near and dear to your heart. Can you tell us a little bit about Autism Day?
I would love to. Autism Day Washington is an amazing event. The executive director, Lynn Banky, I'm working with her to put this event on. It's been going on for the last 8 to 10 years, and it takes place at Jubilee Farms in Carnation. And what this event is it's bringing together families that have autistic kids with services and providers that that help with autism. So it's a really fun filled day where families can come in and enjoy. Just enjoy their day with their kids, but also learn from different providers. And it's free. And that's the biggest mission for Autism Day, is that Lynn Banky wants to keep the entire day free, not only to families as they participate, but also to the businesses who come. So we do not charge any money for a booth. The only thing that we ask is that a business will have an activity, some kind of a small activity that's free for the kids to do. And what that allows is the parents are then able to talk to the business, the sponsor, and they're able to actually have a conversation while the kids are busy with their activity.
Wow.
So, and it's just a really, really wonderful event. In the beginning, I think it started out with 40 families, and now it's grown to over almost 400 families attend. So
I don't know whether to celebrate that or be sad about that.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but last week the CDC came out with their new findings, and it's 1 in 88 kids are affected with autism. So, and that's about a 25% increase from what the numbers were before. And that's huge.
That's significant.
It
is. There's a lot of studies going on why and how.
Exactly.
And all that kind of fun stuff. But in the meantime, we've got these families that are dealing with these issues of either having autism children or suspecting autism in their family that don't really have the answers.
Right. And there are a lot of different camps out there in terms of autism. There are people who believe it's the vaccines, it's the food. There's a lot of different ideas. And what Autism Day is we bring everyone together. So if you are interested in learning more about your diet, we have people there for that. There's just a variety of different providers and the different services, and it's a really fun event, and I'm plugging it because we need sponsors, obviously, to keep the event free to families and also to businesses. We need sponsors, so if there's a sponsor out there who, you know, autism is near and dear to your heart, we would love to get some sponsors coming our way. We give out free t-shirts, we give out tote bags. It's just a really, really neat and informative event as well.
And so how do people find out more about how to sponsor and more about the day?
So just the webpage, www.autismdaywa.org. That is the website, and that has information on how to sponsor, how to some fundraising. You can just donate if you're interested in just donating an amount. You can certainly do that. But we'd love to get some major sponsors.
And again, that's www.autismdaywa.org. And I'll get that information on the Walk the Talk with Kim Page. So if you missed the show today, or if you want to hear it again, obviously, if you're listening right now, you haven't missed it. But, well, maybe you missed the beginning. You can download the archive on walkthetalkwithkim.com, and we'll have this information and more. Thank you, Ghazala, for coming today. You're a wealth of information. I appreciate it. We'll have to have you come back on and talk more about it.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent. We had a great time. I wanted to take these last couple of minutes to put out a special thank you to the Walk the Talk listeners and to Meadow Creek Business Center. As I pleaded a couple of weeks ago, I was looking for office space, and talk about the universe providing. I had put it out there as I received my counseling certificate from the state of Washington that I wanted to counsel and help people that are unemployed and underemployed. with some opportunities. And I was needing an office space. And so I said, well, how am I going to get an office space? And lo and behold, this great contest came along and I asked people to vote for my video, where my video did win. And I did win the contest.
Congratulations. That's so awesome.
Thank you very much. Oh, my gosh. It's so exciting. So I picked up the keys on Monday, and I have my new office. Thank you to Meadow Creek Business Center. Definitely give them a plug. And if you go to Walk the Talk with Kim, I'll post some pictures there, as well as on Workforce Evolution, which is the name of my company, pictures of my new office. And I am looking for folks out there that do need counseling services, that are unemployed or underemployed. And we'll get that information on Walk the Talk with Kim. But I really wanted to thank the listeners and thank the 250 plus people that voted for the video. It was a fun video, and you can still watch it. So thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now go out there and look at your community, figure out what you can do, but most importantly, have a beautiful day. It's a beautiful